Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm Coach Michael. Today, we are joined by Billy Cawthorn and Logan Kluche. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. And Billy, can you introduce yourself or reintroduce yourself to the people that might not know, or at least new listeners?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, so my name's Billy Cawthorn, like Michael said. I'm originally from Vernon, BC. I've been in Regina, Saskatchewan now. Played junior in a number of places. Some of my buddies would call me a professional jersey collector. But to name a few, played in Vernon, played in the States in Springfield, Missouri, and then finished it playing in Wainwright, Alberta. Ended up getting a scholarship to Briarcrest College in Canada, and you know, played 4 years there. And now I run a goalie coaching business out of Saskatchewan, called Unmatched Goaltending. And I also work as an advisor for a company called Visionary Sports and Development, and just try to help players reach their goals of playing junior or college hockey, or you know, in the long run eventually wanting to play pro. And then from the goalie standpoint, I really just try to focus on, you know, starting from the younger ages all the way up. I work with anyone from, you know, just starting to skate to 18, 20 years old. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me, and I look forward to joining you again, Mike, as me and Mike go way back. So it's always a pleasure.
Oh yeah, we go back, I think, almost 10 years now.
Yep.
Well, definitely, because I'm almost 30.
I think it's like 11 years this year.
Golly.
I just remember because I was 14 the first time we met.
And don't say that. That's weird. I started as his coach, to not make that one sound too weird off the cuff. And Logan, you and I actually go way back too, but we're the same age, so it's not as weird.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not weird. Yeah, no, happy to be here. Yeah, like Mike said, we go way back. We played against each other all the way through, pretty much, every once in a while. So, yeah, I was born and raised in Kamloops. Played a year at Okanagan Hockey Academy, where I played against Mike a couple times when he was at POE. From there, I went on to play in Wenatchee for their U18 program. Then I went all the way over to Montreal, played junior A in Montreal. And from there, it was kind of a toss up of whether I wanted to continue playing junior A over there and kind of reach for that D1 deal, which didn't really work out. So I ended up going Division III at St. Olaf College. Played for just a couple months before I blew my knee out for the second time, and that kind of ended my career. My playing career, I should say. But I was lucky enough to have an amazing relationship with the coaching staff and kind of the athletic director there. And they kind of made me a student coach during my junior season, I guess, junior year, third year for Canadians. And then as a fourth year or senior student, I actually got the full-time head coaching job for the college, which was an amazing experience for me. I continued working there for another 2 years after that until COVID hit. Once COVID hit, everything kind of came to a complete stop. The season was completely canceled. And then I just kind of moved on to other things and just recently moved back to Kamloops November of last year. So pretty much a year to the date, actually, if you look at the calendar. And then kind of reached out to Mike, you know, wasn't totally sure what his response would be. But he was super welcoming and everything like that, and started working with him last year kind of on a part-time deal, and this year working more on a full-time basis with him, working with kind of U11, 13, 15 goalies, and I absolutely love it. It's great. So yeah, glad to be here.
I just looked back in our text and you texted me November 15th, which is wild.
Yeah.
So when this goes out, it'll be just over a year.
Right. So pretty much to the date.
To the date. Yeah. Yeah, that is wild. Well, thank you guys for coming. The reason why I wanted to get you guys on, and it's going to be a more consistent basis for sure, is to talk about your opinions on what each age group should be focused on working on over the season, right? So it's not like the little things like a T push or like the when you go to a rink and the goalie's like, I want to work on high shots, right? What's your focus for pretty much everybody in that age group to gain, to develop through the whole season, right? We interrupt this episode to introduce the Shutout Stick, a triumph in goaltending showcased proudly on your wall. This meticulously crafted masterpiece not only holds the essence of your saves, but also cradles three iconic game pucks. Celebrate your victories with the display of prowess. A Shutout Stick is more than a symbol. It is a conversation starter, a testament to your dedication between the pipes. Showcase your journey. Relive those moments. Elevate your space with the Shutout Stick, where legacy meets design. Secure your memories. Secure your victories. Order now at onestopgoaltending.com and let your wall tell your goaltending story. Back to the show, if that makes any sense. Right? So why don't we start with U11, U9, I think it's probably going to be like, get used to the equipment, skate, like fall down, get back up kind of thing, right? But for U11, we can even split it off into two different categories. We can go rec and rep if we really wanted to. We can take like a little vote here if you want to do that. But Billy, why don't you take it off?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like whether you're playing at the highest level or whether you're playing rec just for fun, I think working on, you know, tracking pucks and your positioning are very important, especially at that age. I see a lot of younger goalies lose their net behind them or not know what necessarily where their net is. So I think it's really important to know that. Also at that age, like, I was fortunate enough to play rep hockey, and I was super competitive and athletic, but sometimes, you know, I would be out of position or I would lose my net. And, you know, once I got older, that kind of came back to bite me, and I wasn't as good of a goalie as some of these other guys who were behind me when I was younger, because they took care of those things. And, you know, the athleticism and that kind of stuff came later on. So I think it's just really important to focus on positioning and tracking pucks and, yeah, knowing where your net is so that, you know, yeah, it's really important to be a great skater. It's really important to be athletic and flexible and all those things. But a lot of goalies that we see on TV, whether it's Vasilevsky or Ilya Sorokin, you know, these crazy Russian guys, their flexibility is unnatural almost. Like they're that's just how their body's designed, I think. And not all of us are so fortunate to be able to do that. So it can get better. Our flexibility and our strength can always get better. But to get it to be like Andrei Vasilevsky is really, really difficult just because of how your body is. So, you know, I always like to tell my goalies to look more at guys like I don't know. What's a good example, but Cam Talbot, or, you know, guys who just play a very simple game and don't, you know, you don't ever, you, sometimes you see them make great saves, of course, but, you know, they don't rely heavily on their athleticism. So that's kind of what I would just say, is try to work on keeping it simple and not overplaying the puck or not, you know, coming flying out of your net all the time. As a younger guy, I used to love that and be so aggressive. And then, you know, as I got older, I realized that wasn't necessarily beneficial.
Okay. Logan, you want to follow that one up? Or do you have a counterpoint to him?
No, I don't have a counterpoint. I completely agree. Yeah, absolutely. I can follow it up with a couple other topics if you want me to.
Absolutely.
So with kind of my role right now, I'm working with mostly rec goalies, right? There's a couple in there in all age groups that are borderline rec rep that there might be one or two that probably should be playing up and whatever. But for the most part, I work with the rec goalies. And especially at kind of like the younger ages, and it goes for all ages, but I think at the younger ages it's definitely about the skating, like Billy said. And I think that's probably one of the most important components to it. But then if I expand on that and go into kind of more of like the mental side of the game, I'll be completely honest, until I got quite a bit older, I was not a mentally strong goalie at all. Like until I got 16, 17, 18, like there'd be games that I'd play unbelievable, and there'd be games where I would just completely fall apart as things just didn't go my way. And I think for some of these younger goalies, and Mike, you'll know this from our summer camp. Was it our summer camp or our spring camp? Whatever it was. We had one goalie out there, and it was his like first time kind of ever being a goalie. And he basically fell apart on at every ice time. And it's just important to enjoy the game. It's just as important to enjoy the game as it is to play well, right? And like, okay, you get scored on seven times. Who actually like cares when you're U11 or U13 when you're playing rec? Like, like your coach isn't gonna
Parents
come in
do.
there and well, of course they do, but yeah, but like your coach isn't gonna come in there and rip you apart like when you're playing rec hockey kind of thing, right? There's forwards out there and defensemen out there that can't skate. So if they can't do that, then why are you expected to be this all-star goalie that stops every single shot? So I think the kind of the mental component as well, and just realizing that it's not the end of the world. Like you're gonna have a bad game, and it's how you bounce back from that, right? And how you react to that. If you're breaking your stick over the crossbar, well, that doesn't look good for anybody, and it shows that you're not in a good place, and that's not going to instill any confidence in anybody. But if you take it with a grain of salt and just kind of move on, that means a whole lot more. So I see that in some of these rec goalies, not so much in like your U11 age group, but more in kind of the older age groups where they think they should be playing somewhere, and then when they get scored on, they're all mad and whatever, and they react to it. It's like let's just move on, right? So I guess that's just kind of my point of
Well,
view.
specifically, because you did just mention that that's more for the older age groups. Specifically, what have you been taking to the U11s? Like, I'm sure you've been sprinkling in the mental side of it. But they just might not be old enough to actually grasp that concept yet.
Right. So for the U11s, we're like I'm not worried about your mental game yet or how you react and that kind of thing. I think for like more of like the U11 group, we've really been focusing on our skating, our positioning, like Billy said, not getting lost in our net. And not making saves behind us, keeping our hands out in front of us, keeping our stick out in front of us, and not turning away from shots, you know, and trying to make a glove save behind you or a blocker save behind you. I think that's really what we've been kind of focusing on for the most part so far this season.
So a lot of like the ingraining the fundamentals, right? That's the, those are the years to really develop them and make them second nature.
Definitely. That would be the long and short of it. Exactly. Yeah.
For mine, I took a different approach as well, a little bit. I totally agree with the fundamentals, right? That is the time to work on fundamentals, to learn it. But I said, getting set early, actually understanding what that means, right? So getting into your stance, when and why, and then finding their strengths and weaknesses. Because all three of us, once we know the goalie's strengths and weaknesses, and they know it, then it's so much easier to teach it. Because why would you teach a goalie that can't do the splits or can't do an athletic push how to be athletic, right? Build up their strength and then build in their weaknesses as well, right? I think U11 is perfect age for that.
Right.
Right.
And I think trying to simplify things a little bit, especially for them, right? Like, you're not going to expect a U11 to go into an RVH and then bump off their post into a T push. Like, okay, how do we simplify that? Right. Yeah. So let's get to our post.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. And then let's go from there. Right. Like,
yeah. I think letting them try it and not do well at it, because everybody wants to do butterfly slides or RVH or post work or something that they see on TV and they just can't do it yet. So I'm always up for letting them try and figure it out, and then I'll step in when they're of the right age, kind of thing.
Right.
Or they have enough leg strength. Billy, do you want to take off U13 again?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I kind of just thought of another thing too, and is, I think, like, you just because you touched on this, just wanted to do butterflies and stuff all the time, but really trying to understand that the butterfly is like a save selection. So when we're moving in our crease as goalies, we should try to remain on our feet as long as we possibly, like, as long as we can. Obviously, if the puck's in tight, then yeah, we should be down, like, or on our post in the RVH position and stuff. But like you also said, Mike, like, that's an uncomfortable position for some goalies, and it's really hard to learn. So I just would say, like, for especially at U13, now you're kind of getting into those next levels where hockey's getting a little more real, I guess, or like intense. Is just be patient and be able to stay on your feet. And if the puck gets passed across the ice, using a T push or you know, now there's different types of shuffles and stuff that you can use to get across the net, and being able to just stay on your feet and track the puck across. And then if the puck goes down to the corner or something, being able to shuffle into your post or T push into your post and staying on your feet instead of just sliding into the reverse VH or you know, I don't want to, most goalies aren't lazy, you know, but I think they're accidentally lazy when they, you know, you slide into the post and the puck's still in the corner. Like, there's no reason you need to really be on your knees when we're on our feet, and then a shot's coming in, we're tracking the puck down, and as we go down, we're going to the butterfly, and now we're tracking the puck into our body. But, you know, if we go down early, it's a shin pad, something like that, or the player, if we go down and that, so, like, I've got burned like this, and you see it a lot in the NHL, is guys go down anticipating a shot, but it's a pass, and then it's just a backdoor tapping because the goalie went down. So being able to read,
it's second nature, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's really hard to, you know, you're not going to be perfect every time, but just being able to read the play and know, like, hey, he's outside the hash marks, or he's outside the top of the circles. Like, I can be on my feet here, like, all the time. If the puck's in the corner, or even as the player's, like, walking in or walking out, you can just step out on your feet and then make a save instead of just staying down in your RVH on the post, because now you're exposing, like, so much of the net, you know? So yeah. I think it's something that is really hard to get used to or ingrained, especially. And it goes back, and that's why I kind of said it does actually go back to the U11s, because if you're a U11 and you're on your knees all the time, then to break that habit could be difficult.
Yeah, and I think that kind of falls underneath if you're a confident skater or not. Right? If you're not a confident skater, you're going to drop and dive across instead of sliding, T-pushing, or shuffling, right?
100%.
All right, what do you got for U13? What's your key things, or is that your key things for
Well,
U13?
those are my key things. Like, I'm saying, like, if you have the habit of being down too much, breaking that and realize, like, because at U13, like, you're gonna start getting beaten out. Guys can start raising the puck a little quicker. Guys are little kid kids are a little stronger. So if the pass is getting passed across at the top of the circles and you're using a butterfly slide, well, now the guy's gonna have the whole net. So able to know that you need to stay on your feet and to be in position. It goes back to positioning, but just staying on your feet. I think that's a big one, because you can be in position, you can be on angle, square to the shooter, but if you're in your butterfly, now you're giving up so much more of the net. Or if he moves the puck back to the player who first passed it, like a give and go, it's going to be a lot harder to get back to that second shot. So, just being able to know that not being on your feet is kind of most important. If you watch all the best goalies, they're making their save on their knees often, but they're on their feet when they're moving around the crease. And that's, I think, where some, I don't want to say hockey fans or hockey, that's where I think some people get it wrong, is they're like, oh, these goalies are on their knees all the time, that's why pucks are going in. And it's like, everywhere they're moving around the blue paint, they're on their feet. They're on their knees when the shot comes. And half the thing that bothers me the most is half the time these goals are going in, it's a tip, it's a deflection, and then it goes over top of them. And it's like, the puck was on the ice. Of course they went on their knees, or of course they went into the butterfly, the proper term. You go on your into your butterfly, and then the puck gets tipped, and then it goes over the shoulder. That's completely different. What if you stood up? Imagine how embarrassing it would have been if you stood up and the puck didn't get tipped and it just went right through his legs. So
I
sometimes you
can
gotta.
sense some personal feelings coming out of Billy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I just get frustrated when I hear people say things. I'm like, did you see the play? Like, because just, as goaltenders at any age, what it's like being in that position. And then you hear someone talk who's never been a goalie in their life, and it's just like, you don't understand.
Yeah, oh, 100%. I believe that's going to be our topic for next week too, is like how to make minor hockey a little bit better for goalies, and that's coming from the parent side, the goalie side, coaches side, if they're listening. And
Good
then
luck with
what
the
parent?
parent side.
I you know what? Parents actually listen more than coaches, so I have no problem with the parent side, and I think if they confront the coaches in a specific way, it might be able to help. But that's going to be next week's episode, so make sure you tune in if you're listening to this episode. So yours is being patient, Billy, then.
Yeah, being patient and not.
Learning patience for sure.
Not overplaying the puck, like overplaying the crease, essentially.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Logan, take it away.
Well, Billy basically just stole my entire monologue here. So,
I can come back
because
if you want.
no. Because I was gonna say the exact same thing. Like, that's what I've been working with kind of the rec goalies, is not just staying on your knees the whole time. And I think one of the challenges to that is somewhat how practices are structured. When you were younger and you would just do like the wheel out of the corner, and it would be your entire team just one shot after the other, and you'd get your low shot, and then there would be another shot. Well, you're not going to get back up to your feet after that, right? You're just going to stay down, because
Yeah.
like I'm not going to get up and down and up and down and up and down for 18 shots. Like, that's not going to happen. So I think that's kind of one of the challenges that some of these goalies face, especially at kind of the lower levels where your coaches aren't as experienced or don't have as well developed drills. So I can understand that from one point, but I completely agree with Billy that the patience has got to be there and staying on your feet has got to be there. And that's definitely something that kind of I've been working with the U13 goalies on. Then the only other thing that I would kind of add to that or is starting to understand the different angles. You know, like at U11, it's, you can give them all the zones and whatever, but it doesn't really mean anything to them. But once you're at that U13 level, you can start to understand, like, okay, here's a sharp angle versus, okay, what happens if the puck's out at the blue line? Like, where should I be versus where, if it comes down the wall towards the hash marks, like, what does my angle look like? What does my depth look like? I think you can start to work on that with them and they'll understand it a little bit better, because if you're at the top of your crease or 6 inches outside of it when it's way up at the point and you keep that depth going all the way down the wall, you're not going to be in position. Like Billy said, like, you're going to be way out of position. Yeah. So starting to understand some of those things and then kind of starting to understand kind of like the behind the net angles as well. And like when the puck's in the corner versus when it moves kind of behind the net, like, what does that look like? So I think you can start to work on that kind of stuff as well. And you get some understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. So for me, U13, I took a little bit of a different approach again, and it's not to be different or be walk against the grain, but it's understanding the mental side of the game. So Logan, I think you touched on it with U11s, but understanding the mental side of the game, being able to reset and stay focused over the whole game, and then learn about the controllables, right? Mm-hmm. What can you actually control? Because a lot of the time, the goalies are like angry or disheartened by something that they can't control. So if they learn that, hey, since we can't control it, we're not going to even think about it or worry about it, they're able to maintain the focus and stay like controlled in their own environment, right? Which is the crease, right? So that's where I start really talking about the mental side with U13s and learning the ups and downs of that kind of style and gameplay. On ice, it's kind of the year for me where I show them all the tools that they can have, right? We work on puck handling, we work on overlap, RPH, maybe a little bit of panda, and desperation, right? Like, learn everything now, try it out, try to add it to your game. If it doesn't work, then they're just going to naturally stop doing it. And if it does work, great, they're probably going to naturally add it to their game, in which now we can build it up, right? One thing with U13 goalies and U11 goalies, actually, the players develop their shots much earlier than the goalies develop their hand-eye coordination, right? The shots, if you think back when you and I played, everybody was using, or me and Logan mainly, I don't know about Billy too much, right? But everybody was using cut down sheer woods, like wood sticks, right? With like nothing for a curve. So we weren't worried about catching high shots that were 3 feet in front of us getting whipped at us, right? It was more of a natural progression with how our bodies actually develop.
It was the two-piece Z bubbles.
Yeah, maybe in Kamloops here. But now, like, everybody's stick has a flex. Even when you're U11, U13, they're 30 flex, 40 flex. Players are learning how to shoot quicker, harder, earlier. And we can't teach the goalies how to catch a puck or watch the puck or track the puck naturally earlier, right? We're telling them all this stuff, but their brain hasn't developed that extensively yet. Their muscle control hasn't developed that extensively yet. So for me, being able to mentally concentrate, right, is a huge focus. Being able to understand all the tools is a big focus. Being able to stop high shots isn't the main focus, maybe if you're a second year. But if you understand the first two things, then the high shots are going to become a little bit easier for you naturally. And if you're getting the first two things, then I'm going to move on to box control. And why do we make the save out in front of us, right? Especially if they're shooting pucks 2-3 feet away from us, right? That's my take on that for U13. Anybody have any counter arguments to that one?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Silenced the crowd, did I? Take away U15 there, Billy.
Yeah, so at U15, I think now kind of exactly what Logan was saying is now you're really getting into the depth and the positioning and what do things look like. I really like to use the neutral zone dots just outside the blue line. And so if the player's obviously inside the blue line, you know, you can be at the top of your crease between the neutral zone dots. Now, if the player's on the very far, even if he's at the blue line, but he's at the very like on against his butts against the boards, like by the benches or whatever, you know, now I'm already like giving up some depth, because if he makes a pass across the ice or through the, you know, diamond, as they call it, to get to that backdoor play, you're not going to get there if you're way out of your net. And then same thing too, like it's almost like that, like if they're in the top of in the high slot, do you want to be in the white outside of your crease? Probably not, but you still want to, you know, have your toes on the red. You still want to be at the top of your crease. That's a dangerous scoring area, but now they're a little closer. And so now if they make a pass, you know, down to the short side or either side by the circles, if this makes sense, now you can get there. But if you're in the white, you're not going to get there. But if you're in the white when they're at the top of all the way at the blue line, now you can still get there because the puck has to travel further. So it's all about angles and knowing where, how far the puck is traveling, you know, and just being aware where players are. So now this becomes now at U15 and it continues into U18 is awareness and really being aware of, you know, who are the threats on the ice. If it's a power play, you know, are they looking to, you know, McDavid here on the wall, or where are they looking to shoot? Are they a team that shoots a lot from the point and generates traffic? How am I going to adjust to each team as I play? Because now you're, you know, every team plays differently and you can't play the same against every team. You look at a lot of goalies in the NHL. They might be really successful one night and then they might, you know, and that just comes with inconsistency too. So I think, you know, building consistency and building good habits at the U15, U18 levels as well. But some goalies are very successful against teams their whole career. And some goalies are also very unsuccessful against teams their whole career. And that's just because the way they play and the way the teams play. And that I truly believe that, at least, is if you're a very athletic and very, you know, you're an aggressive goalie on teams that move the puck east-west a lot, you know, it's going to be really hard to and they don't shoot the puck much. It's going to be hard to stay in the game, first of all, because, you know, you might only get 20 shots. And it's going to be hard if you're not that patient to go back and forth, or back down low, things like that. Whereas if you play against a team that just shoots from everywhere, you know, you're probably going to be successful because that's what you thrive off of. So there's it kind of goes back to patience, but it just goes to awareness and knowing where players are. You're on your post, are you shoulder checking? If it's a 2-on-1, are you looking what hand the other player is who doesn't have the puck? Things like that, where, you know, now you're really reading the play.
Right. So you're saying U15, you're more focused on depth management.
Mm-hmm.
And then U18, you're more worried about hockey IQ and anticipating the play.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, depth management comes with hockey IQ, but I think that, you know, once you get to U18, now there's more things to consider.
Right. Awesome. Okay. U15, Billy, you took that away and you were talking about depth management. Logan, what do you got for U15?
I think U15, obviously you're going to continue kind of like the zone management and, like Billy said, the depth management, because I think that's super important, especially if you want to progress through the levels. The other thing that I was going to say, maybe even for U13 as well, but definitely for U15, is not dropping on every shot, right? Like starting to be able, definitely for U15, starting to be able to read the shots and, okay, like I know that if he's shooting from the top of the circle, this probably isn't going five hole, and being able to start to read that and not dropping on every single shot, staying maybe on your feet and getting a shoulder on it instead of just dropping and hoping that it hits you, kind of thing. And then, yeah, I guess that's pretty much all I've got, because Billy pretty much covered all of it. You know, depth control, zone control, and then, you know, learning that patience. And then, like you said, Mike, definitely, you know, understanding that mental game as well.
Yeah. I think this age is the kids that want to actually understand it can understand it. The ones that are caught up in the social bubble of hockey usually walk with the grain and go with what the cool kids or the class clowns are doing. Right. That's right. Both on and off ice. So right. Those ones might not ever get it because they're more preoccupied with other people's thoughts and opinions rather than task at hand. Right. And fair enough. Right. It's not for everybody. And I understand that. For me, I had making smart hockey plays with their save selection. Right. It's been a big thing this year because I'm watching more of their games and doing more game analyzing game reviews.
Analysis.
There we go. Thank you. And so I can see when they just misread the play because they're thinking more reactionary than pre-action, right? And being prepared. So that's what, for me, goes all the way back to U11. That's why we start being set early in our stance with good depth, finding our strengths and weaknesses. So when we get to U15, we know how to play the game to our ability, right? Billy touched on this as well. There's some goalies that always win against teams, and there's some goalies that always loses against teams. And that's solely based on their strengths and weaknesses, right? So if we're able to make smart save selections, we should be able to minimize the goals against and chances against off rebounds, right? We're making the game easier. It's no secret. I think hockey's an easy sport. We just have to work hard to make it easy, right? And all three of us, I think, got to that stage in our career where we'd show up to the crease and we're like, practice is easy. You just put the puck there and no one has to worry about it. Put the puck there and no one has to worry about it. Jump in the game. All right, puck goes up off the blocker, whistle. All right, next shot. Cool. This is pretty easy. Oh, if I do a little shuffle, take that in the chest, there goes all the pressure, right? Like it's easy, but it takes a long time of gaining the experience and the knowledge of doing that. So U15, I think they're able to grasp a little bit more of that hockey IQ and game sense. I have here pretty much what everybody else said, read the shot or track the puck. My tip for that is when the shot's taken, try to watch it if it's going over your belly button, stay up if it's going underneath your belly button, then drop down. And that forces the goalie to stay on their feet to actually watch the shot release, right? Learn what the stick is telling you. Have a game plan, right? So on a 2-on-1, what's your game plan? Sticks facing on the outside towards the boards. Do you want that guy to shoot or pass? If you want him to shoot, do you want to stay super aggressive in your depth, or do you want to back up to give him the shot, right? Tease him a little bit, right? If you want him to pass, do you want to be more aggressive or back up, right? So it's having a game plan based on who you are in those situations and scenarios, right? And then that goes with depth control and zone control, right? So that one got a little bit more extensive for sure. But last one, U18, right? Billy talked about anticipating plays and making the game easier with Hockey IQ, right?
Can I just touch something?
Yeah.
Communication is also a huge thing. I think once you get, you know, U15, U18, communicating with your defensemen, with your forwards on what's going on, what do you see coming at you? And then that kind of goes back to the 2-on-1 thing. Here's a little tip that I learned and that actually helped me a ton. So if a guy's coming down on 2-on-1, he's on his off wing. So that means the blades face like in the middle of the ice, or facing the middle of the ice. You honestly, you should be yelling at your D-man to go to him, because in order for him to get that puck across, he's probably going to have to pull it to his backhand and now try to make a backhand pass. If he's on his proper wing and he's coming down and the blade is facing the boards, you have the advantage because he has a worse angle to the net. So, from, you know, now you're taking away the shot. So, you know, you need to make sure you know who that D-man is, and hopefully your D-man sticks with the pass guy, because if he doesn't, well, now you're challenging so much and it's going to be hard to get across and make that save if he does get that pass across. But if you trust your D-man, you say, hey, take, like, I got shot. And your D-man ties that guy up, that should be a save every time. That's just my opinion.
I agree with that. I think communication for me falls underneath the learning all tools. So We might start it in U13, but we'll definitely need it for U15. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to communicate with your defense, right? You have mm-hmm. to demand and control your D zone, which is what I have for U18.
And they have to communicate with you too. So I was just going to add, like, okay, so you start, you know, doing your simple stick handling at U11, right? And you don't expect them to go behind the net and stop the puck and make a pass, right?
Right.
But at U13, okay, go stop the puck if you can get there. And you still don't have to make a pass. U15, stop the puck, make a pass if you can.
Yeah.
U18, you've got to be able to get back there, stop the puck, and make a good pass, breakout pass, pretty much, right?
Stick handling and communication, I think, quickly became mandatories for most coaches without even thinking about it.
Right. So that just goes into Billy's point of, you know, the communication point, you know. Whether it's a 2-on-1 or whether it's a dump in and you're stopping it behind the net, you've got to be talking to your defenseman, and they have to be talking to you, especially on a dump in. They're not going to be yelling over their shoulder on a 2-on-1 necessarily, but
I got this guy. I got this guy.
Yeah. But definitely on like dump ins, right? Like, you got to know where your guys are.
So. I would agree with you on that. Right. So U18, Logan, what do you got?
I mean, I was going to say like the whole stick handling point and the communication point. Right. And
we can keep it for that if you want. Yeah. That can be your U18.
Yeah. Okay. That works.
Make it easy.
Yep.
So for me, my U18 kind of piggybacks off U15 is consistently making the game easier with Hockey IQ, which means you're learning other teams' habits and trends, right? You're learning how your team what your team habits and trends are, what's your D zone system, where are the holes, where am I going to get shots from kind of thing. Anticipating plays, that kind of goes hand in hand with that. And then dominating the D zone, right? Like you have to command your zone, A, by communication, B, by just making saves, right? If teams realize that, hey, you're kind of a one and done goalie, meaning you get a shot, rebound goes other perfectly somewhere where no one can get it or your team can get it, or it goes out of play or you cover it, they're going to stop shooting, right? They're going to look for bigger plays, like riskier plays to make, like backdoor through a defenseman's feet or through a couple guys' feet. They're going to try to look for those. And that's just because they can't throw anything and generate any offense, right? Mm-hmm. We want that kind of style of hockey. For an untrained eye, it's going to be boring hockey, but for a trained eye, it's going to be like, where's this domination starting from? Starting from the crease, moving its way outward, because your team has confidence in you now, right? So it's making those consistent things now, right? Obviously, small details with foundational and fundamental skills. Mm-hmm. Obviously, puck handling, obviously, communication, obviously, being able to make desperation saves. But U18 is where everything should be clicking all together, right? And we're focused more on the hockey IQ and making the game smarter and easier.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the mental side too now comes into that as well, and being consistent. I think just with that, like, this is something that I always was told, but you should always make the saves that you're supposed to make and make a couple that you shouldn't make. And if you're doing that consistently, that will be noticed. You know, some games you might let in 5 goals, but if it's 5 back doors or 2-on-1s or whatever, you know, that's what, you know, it really frustrates me sometimes when you look at save percentage or whatever. Obviously, the goalies on the best teams have the best save percentages. They face the least amount of shots. So I think sometimes, as a former goalie, I would look at that and be like, oh, I can't believe this guy's numbers, or I can't believe that guy's numbers. And I'm sure there's other goalies that do it out there. Don't worry about your numbers. That is, you know, be mentally strong. Don't look at elite prospects. Don't look back. For the rest of the week, don't think about, oh, I should have stopped that one. I should have stopped that one. Get into practice and just focus on stopping the shots in practice. You know, and then by the time the game comes, you'll be ready, because you're going to forget about it. I have played so many games in my life. This is my last point before I go here, and I'm getting a little fired up here. But I have played so many games in my life where I have lost or I've let in 5+ goals. There's only one game that and it wasn't even a bad game. I made like 80 saves or something. There's only one game that I remember out of the thousands of games that I lost, and I lost 15-1. So let me tell you. I don't think if that happens to you, yeah, you'll probably remember it. But I can guarantee you, there's many goalies listening that will never allow that many goals in their career.
So who was that against?
Grant McEwen University.
You.
I think we got outshot 87-16 or something.
Been there.
So I haven't.
Exactly. So like, there you go, you know, like, it's, so don't dwell on your losses, because there's even in the NHL, people lose, like
San Jose,
literally,
or Edmonton,
or exactly. Edmonton.
So I'll leave it at that, and just be mentally strong, because no matter what, like, there's always another game around the corner and coming around the next week. So
yeah, being consistent is essentially making the small habits happen all the time, right? Mm-hmm. For good. Game plan, you have you get prepared almost the same way. You go through the same sort of routine. It doesn't have to be the exact same, but that way your body and mentally and your mental game are heading into the puck drop feeling the same way. Right. And if it feels good, then keep doing it. If it doesn't work, then change something up. Right.
100%. All right, guys, I got to let you go, but thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure, and I can't wait till next week.
All right. Enjoy the game.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So What do you got to wrap up? Anything? Any hot takes that get you fired up like Billy?
No, I mean, I totally understand how or like where Billy was coming from, because like I look back at my career and there's not a whole lot of games that like I remember losing. Like I know I lost a lot.
Yeah.
But like I remember the really, really, really good games that I played, not the ones that were like all that bad.
Right.
And like I go back to my Bantam second year, which was my Bantam draft year, obviously.
Is that when you were
And
at OHA?
no, that was when I was here.
Thompson, yeah.
Yeah. And we won two games all year. We went
Oh,
247
yeah.
and whatever. Doesn't matter. And the year before, the team had been extremely good. So they got us into all these big tournaments. And then so my team showed up at all these tournaments and just got absolutely killed. So we played Notre Dame and they had Morgan Riley and they had all these like guys
Yeah.
that are now like players. And that's one of the games that I will remember for the rest of my life, because Morgan Riley scored four goals on me in the first
Oh,
period.
wow.
And like, yeah. And I don't remember what the final shots were, but we definitely did not break double digits in the entire game. Got shut out, and I think the final score was 17 nothing. I'm pretty sure. Something like that, anyway. And like that's one of the games that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. But it's not because like necessarily you played terrible, but it was because like
Just
who you were playing
absolutely,
against,
yeah.
and like, yeah, and we won two games in an entire season. So like what else do you expect? I don't remember any of the other games that year. I remember our Kibbit tournament, like we actually did okay. We lost every single game, but we did okay. Like,
That's making that phrase have a new term, eh? A
right.
new
Yeah,
definition.
like but like you think back to Kibbit 15 years ago or whatever that is,
It was the tournament.
and in some of the teams that were there, and like we weren't getting blown out and we like did okay, and I'll remember that forever. And I'll remember that Notre Dame game the rest of the year. No idea, like no
Yeah.
clue. So anyway, it's just it's just moving on from that. And like I was devastated after the Notre Dame game, but
Yeah.
you still get up for the next game, and it's just important to be excited for the next game. And like I didn't hate going to the rink that year at all. Like
Yeah.
you were going to lose, but it was still fun to play hockey. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
I honestly I remember actually winning one game, and then everything else was moments, right? So like I remember making a big save here against the Vancouver Selects in the Challenge Cup in the finals, right? Only to,
Right.
I guess now that I am thinking about it, only to lose 2-1, right? And
Right.
then the game I remember winning is the college national championship, right? Won that 2-1, pretty good feeling.
Yeah.
And then I remember seven game series when I was playing Junior V on the island. That was an absolute goalie battle. Out of the seven games, there was four shutouts between me and the other goalie, and
Jeez.
every game except one went to overtime, and the one that didn't go to overtime, both of us got pulled. So we were like just matching each other, which was kind of cool, and it sucked getting pulled in the one game, but we lost in double overtime and it was 1-0. Like, it was unreal hockey.
Right.
So, yeah, the losses definitely don't stick with you unless you let them. I also, like, I envy people who can look back on their career and remember more of, like, how they felt in moments. I never reflected in the moment. I never, like, took anything in because everything to me was a stepping stone. So, like, my overall thing now is, like, hey, when you go to these new cool places, I got a kid off there's a kid on the island I coach, and he was just in Chicago for a tournament. I'm like, that's cool. Like,
no, yeah, 100%.
Like, look around, take it in.
Yeah.
Right.
And going off that, like, if I look back at my time in Montreal, like, how many people from BC go to Montreal to go play hockey, right? Like,
yeah, not
and,
much.
and like, sure, there's your ups and downs, and the positives and negatives, but like, as an experience as itself, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then I look back at that, and like Billy said, sometimes there's teams that you play really well against, and sometimes there's teams that you don't. And I can completely relate to that when I was there, because I had three unbelievable games against one team, and then this other team, no matter what I did, I just could not figure it out. Like, just could not get it right. And I think I got pulled in both my starts against them and just couldn't do it. And yeah, so I think it's just interesting. And then you, like, yeah, you definitely reflect back at some of those, like, really good times. Like,
yeah. Anywho, I think that's going to be it for us before we get too sappy with our own careers and
fair enough.
Reliving the glory days.
Fair enough.
If you have any questions, you can reach out on to us anywhere on social media besides X. Either the Goalie Corner podcast or One Stop Goaltending. You can also email us at goaliecorner@gmail.com. If you have any ideas, please let us know.